Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. I was putting the lesson together. It's lesson number 50. It's like, wow. Man. That's. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks.
Not us. It takes us years. That's right. We dig in. All right, Ephesians 6:14. Yes, Amanda and I were talking about that. All right, there we go. All right, so this is the armor of God, and particularly the breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians 6:14. Let's see. There we are. It says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." All right, breastplate of righteousness is what we're going to talk about this morning. But let's pray first, and then we'll talk about it. Father, I thank you for your words, first of all, for guidance and direction from your words in this life. And Lord, I pray for the teachers in the back that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit to minister to the kids and be able to take your words and make application and just help us, help them grow, help us grow in here. Father, I thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ, and I thank you for, Lord, eternal life, and thank you for the privilege to be in the ministry. I thank you for, Lord, a good church and good brothers and sisters in Christ, and just a good time of fellowship and good time this morning. And I pray you'd have liberty to do what you want to do with us this morning, feed your flock, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so started on the belt of truth, or your loins girt about with truth. And you think about the belt. So a belt, a lot of you guys, you carry maybe your phones or knives or something like that on. Am I? All right, the cord's just going to be like this, okay? Just going to be like that. All right. So a belt, or like a carpenter's belt, you know, you hang all your tools. The point is the belt holds all the tools, generally. Holds most of the tools. And he started off with the loins girt about with the belt of truth. And second thing is the breastplate of righteousness. So righteousness is the next thing. Now, obviously, he's taking body armor, or, you know, the what somebody would wear to protect themselves here, and making a spiritual application. So there are some physical properties that body armor or breastplate has that corresponds to spiritual properties that you're looking for here. And I was thinking about it, you know, a lot of the curriculum and things like that, you go to the armor of God and you got these medieval looking soldiers and things like that. And I mean, really, you could even update it. I mean, there's bulletproof vests and things like that. That's like a breastplate. It's just body armor is what it is, and the function of it hasn't really changed. And even the way it protects hasn't really changed. The point of it is to protect all the vital organs and protect from something piercing through all the vital organs, whether it's a sword or a bullet or whatever it is. The point is to protect all the vital organs. That's what this whole breastplate would do. Whether it was medieval for a knight, or whether it's, you know, police department these days or sheriff's department. I mean, it's the idea is the same. So that all said, all right, there's the vital organs being protected. The idea is this. This physical piece of equipment has properties that are reminiscent of some spiritual qualities that God's going to show you. It's going to illustrate some things. And, you know, the first two words in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, you understand righteousness is in Jesus Christ. Okay? Righteousness is in Jesus Christ. However, this being said, he says, put on the whole armor of God. So he's talking to Christians. So apparently it sounds like there's something else to put on besides just Jesus Christ. There's some other thing. Now, I will show you the righteousness of Christ, and it is going to be a protection. But there's a responsibility of a Christian even further than just trusting Jesus Christ to be righteousness. There's more responsibility that goes with this. All right, so the first thing I want to show you in the Bible are the three, I guess, arrows of the enemy. And it's interesting the way the Bible characterizes this, because as a breastplate, this bulletproof vest, this body armor, is the function of it is to protect your body from being pierced through with, you know, a sword or a bullet, something like that. The point is something piercing through. It's protecting something piercing through. So in the Bible, there's three things God discusses as attacks of the enemy that will pierce through the spirit of a person. Okay? They all start with M, and so it would be easy to remember here. But the first one is your mouth. Your mouth. Look in Psalm chapter 64. Psalm 64. And I'm gonna try to correspond some of these, the attack versus how this attack is quenched. All right, Psalm 64, verse 2. You know, we talk about the Word of God as a sword. Well, it's not, the Word of God is a sword, but people can use their mouths as swords too. All right, Psalm 64, verse 2. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. All right, so the protection from accusation. You got righteousness. He says, put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect from accusation. All right, I mean, that's one application of this. Somebody else's accusation. I'll show you the counter to this. But the first thing is people can use their mouth as swords to destroy someone's life, and I mean, that's the reality. That's what people do sometimes. Here's the counter to that in the New Testament. All right, someone brings an accusation. Look in Romans chapter 8. This is righteousness in Jesus Christ here. Romans chapter 8. And let's see, verse 33. It says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. All right, here is a case. You've got a dart thrown by way of accusation. All right, an accusation comes in, and Romans chapter 8 says, all right, now who is going to bring a charge against God's elect? Because God's the one that justifies. Secondly, who's going to condemn God's child Because Jesus Christ has already made that child of God righteous. And not only that, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father as an advocate, advocating on behalf of that child. So who has more access to the judge, or who has, there's no, but the point is, in Jesus Christ's righteousness, all right, righteousness is a direct defense against accusation. All right, in this case, it has to do with Jesus Christ's righteousness. All right, I want to show you that one first, because the other couple ones have to do with personal righteousness. And I don't want you to think, you know, I understand our righteousness is in Jesus Christ, but Christians can get themselves in trouble, lose their testimony, all those kinds of things, by acting certain ways, by doing certain things, and that's a reality. All right, so the first one is the mouth is an arrow of the enemy. That accusation. The mouth is likened to something that will pierce through the spirit. It'll wound a person. All right, the second one is this. Morals. Look in Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. Remember, these are arrows of the enemy. This is what this breastplate of righteousness is defending against. These darts, these things that would pierce through and ruin the life of a Christian. All right, Proverbs chapter 7, and I mean, we could start in verse 6. We're not going to. The verse we're looking at is 23, but the context of it, let's start in verse 21. It says, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Watch this. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline. Watch this. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. All right, so the second one, you got the mouth is like a dart, or like a spear or sword. Then you've got morals. All right, and this, we could, like I said, go through the whole Proverbs chapter 7, but this is obviously a guy that gets in trouble with or chases after a woman here. And the picture of it is sin. I mean, it's sin in general, but there's some real specific application to fornication and immorality, things like that. And he says, till a dart strike through his liver. All right, that's a vital organ that would be protected if he had some righteousness or he had some morals, but he doesn't, and so he chases after, and so he gets wounded spiritually in a way that he didn't really have to get wounded spiritually. Notice also in verse 25 it says, let not thine heart decline to her ways. All right, the problem, one of the things the breastplate is protecting is the heart. And if the heart's left unprotected, meaning it strays away towards, you know, where it shouldn't be going, it's left unprotected. And the breastplate's trying to protect the heart. And we're going to look at it in a minute, but part of that righteousness has to do with what you're looking for, what you're seeking after. All right, so the second one is morals. Till a dart strike through his liver, and that is one way where the devil, the flesh, the world will pierce through a Christian and destroy the life of a Christian. All right, so the mouth, morals. Can y'all think of the third one that would be an M? That's not on the list, but. Money. Yeah. Now, well, watch how the Bible words this one. I mean, it just like in all the, it words it as something piercing through somebody. And because of it piercing through, it ruins that person's life. Okay? All right. 1 Timothy, you guys know this verse. I mean, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. I mean, y'all are familiar with this. We all are. Yeah. All right, here's verse 8 to start for the context. It says, "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." All right, I would say every one of us in this room is far past that. I mean, we have not found a way to be content that way yet. We have not learned that lesson yet. Verse 9, "But they that will be rich," they will be, that's what they want to be, "they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition." Here's the problem. "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and done what? Pierce themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, and so on and so forth." So that is the third instance where God said this thing has a piercing effect. And when it pierces, it destroys life. I mean, if it's not contained, if it's not got under control, if it's not corrected, this thing gets into the vital organs and it destroys the vital organs, and then the thing can't function the way it's supposed to function. In a physical way, that's what would happen. You get shot through or something like that. If it's not addressed, then you bleed out. The organs stop functioning the way they're supposed to function in a physical way. And God says, "All right, you take that physical thing, and let me show you spiritually what goes on when people don't protect their vital organs spiritually." All right, so those are some arrows of the enemy where he describes something being, they're piercing through. These things get through and they pierce. All right, so now, second thing, try to do this real logically here. If an arrow gets through, if a bullet gets through, if something gets through, if you're not wearing the body armor and you get shot through, what are the consequences of that? Then what happens? All right, physically, what happens? What could be a scenario that happens? Yeah. I mean, you would go through a process before you die. That's what I'm getting at. You would bleed out, maybe. You would just... There's some suffering, unnecessary suffering that goes on. I was reading a book about a surgeon that went to Iraq, and older guy decided he would go back. He was in the Marines, I think. Decided he'd go back to Iraq as a surgeon, and boy, he talked about, you know, it's punctuated times of do nothing for a long time, and then action, action, action for hours and hours and hours and hours, and then nothing for a long time. And he'd talk about, you know, being up for 48 hours, and the bodies are coming in, and there's no, he's the guy doing the surgery. There's no, you can't just stop and, you know, I'm tired, I don't want to do this anymore. The bodies just keep showing up, and you keep sewing them up, you keep doing what, I mean, that's the job. And so he's talking about that. And maybe some of you guys who are EMTs or know some of this, y'all understand he calls it the lethal triad. This is where somebody gets shot or shrapnel and they start bleeding out, just profusely bleeding out. And what that begins is a cycle. it's hypothermia, which goes to, coagulopathy, which leads to acidosis, which leads to more hypothermia. The point is that the body gets into a cycle where it's trying to repair itself, and it's making the problem worse and worse and worse trying to repair itself. So the blood's going out. That creates a problem where the body's getting colder and colder, and it can't produce coagulants to stop what's going on to clot. And because it can't produce coagulants, it's unable to stop the problem. And then the muscles begin to acidize or whatever. They're not getting oxygen. So acidosis starts taking effect. And then that just causes more hypothermia because the heart's trying to pump more blood and get more blood, and it's not working. But it's trying to fix itself. But he called it, it's not something he coined or anything. It's probably a common term. Called it the lethal triad. And if you don't stop the bleeding, that's the first thing you got to do is just stop the bleeding. Because if you don't stop the bleeding, the body can't fix itself. And so I thought about, okay, well, if spiritually speaking, if that happened to a person spiritually speaking, where one of these things, the mouth, the morals, the money, the thing, got involved there, and it pierced them through, and there was blood loss, and you go to this, first of all, hypothermia, you know. The body gets colder and colder and colder. And I thought, well, how does that apply spiritually? Well, I won't show you the verses. I'll just tell you guys understand, I think, the verses. He talks about the love of many shall wax colder and colder. Iniquity shall abound, and the love of many, you just get colder and colder, which leads to an inability to stop the problem now. Coagulation, the blood won't clot now. Which leads to acidosis, which is bitterness. That's just bitterness in the body. And so you go from the love waxing colder and colder, an inability to stop the problem now, to acidosis, to bitterness, which leads to more coldness, which leads to, and the process just goes on. If you don't ever stop blood. All right? So the idea is spiritually. Well, physically, you understand the consequences there. Spiritually, there's consequences there if it's not stopped. If you can't stop what's happened, the piercing through. Hopefully, the Lord's trying to give you and I, he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness so you don't ever get pierced through. Now, if you've been pierced, there's a way to stop the bleeding. There's a way to get that thing fixed. But you got to get the breastplate of righteousness on. You have to get some way to stop the attacks from hitting you. All right, the second thing is this. All right, if you've got the breastplate of righteousness, I've already told you, but you've got all of your major organs in here. I mean, minus your brain, you've got your major organs in here. And if you get shot through, if a sword went in and pierced something, a lung, the heart, the stomach, the bowel, I mean, the Bible calls this whole area the bowels. Bowels of mercy, bowels of compassion. It's like a bowl. It's just this is where all of the vital organs are. All right, if you had something pierced through because you didn't have the body armor on, if something came through the lung, you would have respiratory failure. You'd have lung failure. You couldn't take in, you couldn't be filled with what you need to be filled with. I've heard some preachers say, you know, you can't be filled with the Spirit, you got to leak somewhere. Well, there's some truth to that. The lungs can't fill up because they've got a hole in them now. And so you can't process oxygen the way you need to. So spiritually, I mean, physically speaking, you can't process oxygen. Spiritually speaking, you can't be filled the way you need to be filled. You're constantly losing oxygen. I mean, I'm trying to just take the physical, use the picture of the physical to the spiritual thing here. What about the stomach? What about intestines? You get gut shot or something like that. Well, then the the digestive functions would fail. You can't process food. You can't process, you can't filter things out the way you need to filter them out. You can't remove, I don't know, whatever the liver does, filters out poisons or whatever. But you can't filter things the way you need to filter them, so you're constantly, you're taking in, as spiritually as a Christian, you're taking in bad stuff and you can't filter it out. Or you can't process the food that you're being given. God's trying to feed you, but you've been pierced through somewhere, so you can't process the food. Or you can't eliminate the waste. That's part of the digestive tract. You can't eliminate what needs to be eliminated. And so those things are physical properties. They would be protected by body armor, breastplate of righteousness. Another one, digestion, you've got respiration, you've got the heart, the circulatory system. If the heart gets pierced through, physically, you know, the out of the heart issues blood to all the body. What is it? He says, keep thy heart with all diligence, spiritually speaking. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Just like your physical body, out of your heart, pumps the issues of life in your body. So the heart's pumping blood, but if the heart has trouble, if the heart gets pierced, it can't issue forth. I mean, it can't put life where it needs to put life. Jesus Christ said this about protecting the heart. He told the disciples one time, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. Meaning you're going to come to a place where your heart's going to, it may be troubled. But what I want to do is I want to prevent your heart from being troubled when you get to that problem situation. So he says, let not your heart be troubled. Here's the scenario. Here's what's going on. All right. So all of that said, I'm trying to just relate. If the breastplate of righteousness, like we're looking at in Ephesians, if that's not engaged, if it's not put on, if it's not, like he said, being worn there, there are consequences that could be deadly. I mean, you guys just think of it individual in your own lives. All right, some of you maybe got saved later in life. Maybe some of you got saved earlier, whatever the situation. You think of your own life and where the enemy has been able to pierce you through. And then in that area, you understand, I have trouble bearing any fruit here. Because I was pierced maybe years ago. And I've never been able to stop the bleeding there. I've never been able to get over this thing. I've never been able to get past it. I can't stop the bleeding. And consequently, I can't really bear much fruit in that area. I'm stuck. Now, he's trying to get you unstuck, but you think about it. I would imagine there probably every one of us in this room could think of some area where we've been pierced through already. And it's a matter of stopping the bleeding, and we need to get control of that thing so that the Lord can work on it and bear some fruit here. All right, so the second thing of all this, or third thing, wherever we're at, are the consequences of being pierced through. There's physical consequences, and just like there's physical consequences, there are real spiritual consequences. And just because you can't see the blood loss and you can't see the stitches and you can't see any of that stuff, just because it's spiritual doesn't mean it's not real. These are real problems. And I would say the spiritual problems are probably more real a lot of times than the physical. I don't say more real than the physical, but they precede the physical problems. They come before. All right, the last thing is this. How does this armor work? How does this thing work? You put it on. He said, put it on. Okay, how do you put it on? We'll start with this one. The first one is you're protected by Jesus Christ's righteousness. That's something you trust in Jesus Christ, you get his righteousness. I'll show you that verse and we'll start there. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Romans chapter 3 and verse 22. All right, it says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that do what? That believe. For there is no difference. All right, so the first way you start to put on this armor is you believe. You trust Jesus Christ. You get his righteousness. And that's the first phase of this thing. That's the first way you start putting on righteousness. Now, let me say this. People who want to work for their salvation. I said this to the guys in Wednesday morning. People who want to work for their salvation. What I mean by that is Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, not for his own. He died on the cross. He went to a grave. He came up 3 days later, and he offers you now righteousness and life. Justification before God and life eternal. He offers it to you. All right? People who say, you know what, I think when I die, God will weigh this all out and see whether I'm good or bad. Well, he's already weighed it out. You've already failed. There's no more weighing it out. This is why Jesus Christ died, because you've already been weighed and it doesn't work. The second thing is this. If you could work for your salvation, you could not get yourself any more benefits than Jesus Christ already offers you. Even if you could work, you couldn't get better than the offers already being made to you. The best thing you're looking at, the best scenario is you're looking at is, well, I'll roll the dice at judgment and hopefully something works out. That's the best scenario you're looking at. However, you trust Jesus Christ, and right now, by the basis of your belief and by his shed blood on the cross, you have justification before God, you have eternal life, and now you have the ability to please God in this life. Whereas somebody who says, well, I'll work for it, you can't beat the offer you've already been given. You can't top it. All right, so the first thing is belief. All right, you're in Romans, look in chapter 4, verse 3. He says, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. What did he do? He believed God. And that got counted. That was how he put on righteousness. He believed God. Verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. So God, forget what you did now. Now it's about what Jesus Christ did. You can make it about what you do as far as gaining justification before God Almighty, but he's already given the judgment on that. It shouldn't be a surprise when he gives the judgment that, no, you failed, you didn't make it, you're not justified. All right, so protected by Jesus Christ's righteousness. That's one way you start, you put on the righteousness, is you believe what God said. Specifically here in the New Testament about Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ did. All right. Paul has an entire letter written to the Galatians about people who put on Jesus Christ for a little bit and then wanted to get back under the law to get more better standing before God or more justification before God. And Paul says, listen, you couldn't gain justification by working in the first place. You can't add your works to Jesus Christ and get more justified than you already are justified. You couldn't do it in the first place, so you can't do it now. It's either Jesus Christ and you trust in what he did, or you trust in what you did, which will not pan out. All right, the second one, protected by Jesus Christ's righteousness. All right, now that's the first. You put on by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Second thing, righteousness also describes your desires. Look over here in Matthew. So your desires are going to be a defense against darts and arrows and snares and things that the enemy will try to trap you with and shoot you through with. All right, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Righteousness also describes not only a standing before God, but it describes an appetite. Verse 6, what does it say there? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. What's the consequence of them hungering and thirsting after righteousness? They'll be filled. So being filled or being empty doesn't have to do with what you have. It has to do with what you want. You can have people right now have in this country stuff upon stuff, even us in this room. And there are people who have all that stuff and they are not satisfied with what they have. And the problem is, satisfaction doesn't come from what you have. It comes from what you want. And if you want righteousness, God provides righteousness. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. All right, you're in Matthew 5. Look down in chapter 6, Matthew 6, verse 31. All right, I understand there's some context here, dispensational context, but the principles are good. I'll show it to you in what Paul wrote too. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. He says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat what shall we eat or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all things. All right, he's getting ready to send out disciples, are getting ready to commission people to go out. And it is a special task. This isn't, I mean, you've got to think about feeding your family, things like that. I understand that. You're not in this commission necessarily, but watch what he says here. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? And his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So righteousness describes not only a standing before God, it describes an appetite. It describes what you're looking for. If temptation works like, you guys understand how temptation works, the devil will put something in front of you that is already a desire of the flesh. And he'll allow the desire to cross paths with the opportunity of something. And that desire and that opportunity meet, and what you have is when sin hath lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Lust, opportunity, sin. Okay, and then he says the end of that sin is death. That's what it always brings forth. It just brings forth death. All right, if you control the lust side of it, what you're looking for, then the opportunities don't make any difference what's around you. And you don't get caught in the snare that the devil would throw before you. So he says, righteousness is what does he say? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. What are you looking for? You're not filled because you think that I'm filled by getting more things, but that's not how you get filled. You're filled by what you want. What are you looking for? All right, so you're protected. Righteousness as a breastplate that protects the heart. The breastplate would describe something that's a defense against the heart. So he says, keep your heart. if the desires are right, then all the opportunities out there that the devil will throw as temptations won't really faze the person who doesn't have a desire for those things. Now, I understand, you live in a body, I live in a body. This body is it's dead as far as God's concerned. And when he says dead, he doesn't mean it can't do anything, it can't function, it can't make decisions. He just describes dead as the pleasures of the flesh. In Titus, I think it's 1 Timothy 5:6, something like that. It's the pleasures of the flesh. All right? So you're protected by righteous desires. It's also a desire. I'll show it to you one more time. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1:11. All right, Philippians 1:11. 10 for the context. So the way you put on this armor, first you put on Jesus Christ by believing in Jesus Christ. And then you put this armor on. What are your desires? What are the things you're looking for? Are you going to yield to the flesh? Are you going to yield to the Spirit of God? What are you looking for? All right. Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. He says, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now watch this. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ and unto the glory and praise of God. All right. Filling, like you would fill your belly with fruit. He says being filled with not apples and oranges, but with the fruit of righteousness. That's what I'm hungry for. That's what nourishes me, the fruit of righteousness. So he says being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. The Lord said it this way one time. Jesus Christ said this way. They're talking about food, and he said this. He said, my meat is to do the will of God. That's my appetite. That's what fills me, to do what God wants. My meat is to do the will of God. All right? So you're protected by righteous desires. When the heart is, it isn't straying, it isn't wandering away, like the song, you know, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. That's every day for us. That is so true. But that righteousness, that those righteous desires are a protection from getting pierced through with problems. What did he say in 1 Timothy? The love of money. Meaning the heart went after something, and because it was prone to wander after that thing, there were consequences, and the person got pierced through with many sorrows. Or Proverbs chapter 7, here's the guy, he says, let not thine heart incline to her ways. The heart was prone to wander, it wandered off, and then it got, what do you say, pierced through the liver, and now he's in a mess because his morals got out of hand. Well, that started with the heart wandering away. So the righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, bulletproof vest of righteousness, whatever you want to call it, body armor of righteousness. The Bible says breastplate, so we'll call it breastplate. That protects the heart. And when the heart is protected by righteousness, it keeps you out of unnecessary trouble, keeps you from being pierced through with many sorrows. All right, let's see. I got one more here. Protected by personal obedience to God. That's kind of along the lines with what we've said, but I want to show it to you in maybe one or two places. Look over in, let's see, 1 Corinthians. Look at this one. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 34. Here's one place. 1 Corinthians 15:34, first few words in this. He says, "Awake to righteousness and do what? Sin not." That's a protection. That's something that keeps you out of trouble, at least unnecessary. I don't want to say, you know, you get saved and all your troubles go away. You get saved and your troubles get multiplied, okay? That's reality. But unnecessary trouble. Trouble that has no value. Put it that way. People face trouble all the time, whether they're saved or unsaved. It's just, as a child of God, you have a promise that your troubles can make you something God wants to make you into. And he'll use those things to your benefit. Whereas someone who just gets into trouble, there's no benefit to being in trouble. They're not a child of God. They're just into sin, and there's no benefit to the trouble. And then oftentimes people just get into unnecessary trouble by decisions they make. All right, self-inflicted. Yeah, a self-inflicted gunshot wound there. Awake to righteousness and sin not. And then he says, "For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." All right, so some folks didn't know what they should have known about God because the people of God weren't talking about things of God. Because they weren't interested. They weren't interested in righteousness. They were interested in whatever things they're interested in. All right, the last one is this. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. And then we'll wrap it up with this one. 6:16. Romans 6:16. All right, Romans 6:16, here you go. It says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey." All right, so somebody says, well, can the devil possess a person who's saved? The question is really irrelevant, because if you yield yourself to the devil, he's running your life. He's the one running it. If you don't want to yield yourself to the Spirit of God, then the devil runs your life. Then the question of, well, possession, blah, 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 we don't have to go in. The point is pretty simple. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked," see that, obedience unto righteousness. "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart," there you go, from the heart, breastplate of righteousness, "obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to what? Righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." I'm just trying to give everybody a reminder. You got saved out of this stuff. Going back to it isn't, you're just going back to the mess you were in. Verse 22, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Notice how many times in those few verses he talks about yielding your members unto righteousness as instruments of righteousness as opposed to instruments of iniquity and sin and that sort of thing. So you're protected by yielding the members to righteousness. You yield those members to righteousness. All right. Hopefully that's helpful to you. That's the breastplate of righteousness. You got the darts. You got the consequences of the darts going in, the bullets going in. You got consequences to that. But how do you put on the armor? And there's some ways that you put it on there. So let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, thank you so much for your words. Thank you for this time together. I pray, Lord, this has been helpful. Thank you for these words, Lord. I pray you'd help us apply them where they need to be applied. Lord, thank you again for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for each soul that's here. I pray you'd bless each soul. I pray that you would feed each soul and minister to your flock. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.